August 28th, 2023.
This time, the Ventnor City Planning Board of meeting of August 28th, 2023 is now in session. I'd like to welcome everybody here this evening, and we'll proceed as we can at the best possible pace. Everyone will be heard. At this time, we will rise and have the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic, which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will our board administrator please call the roll?
Mayor Landgraf.
Here.
Commissioner Kriebel.
Here.
Jay Cook.
Here.
Roman Zabi Hutch.
Here.
Lorraine Salata.
Here.
Dan Smith III.
Here.
Mike Wiesen.
Here.
Peter Taco.
Here.
Tim Coop. Greer Gaskell.
Here.
Jessica Stilley.
Here.
Absent are Tom Halpin and Wendy Bartlett.
Thank you. At this time, we'll go to move to the adoption of the August 9th minutes. Are there any corrections or amendments to said minutes? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption, please?
The motion.
Second.
Second?
I'll second it.
Roman is seconded. We'll have a roll call vote. Not a roll call vote, but we'll have a regular vote, voice vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay. Greer Gaskell has abstained, and Mr. Smith has abstained. Next item is adoption of resolutions. We have four this evening. They'll be adopted as one block. However, are there any amendments to any of those or changes to said resolutions? Hearing no requests, may I have a motion and a second for their adoption, please?
Make the motion.
Okay. Said resolutions are P33 of 2023, P34 of 2023, P35 of 2023, P36 of 2023. All in favor, have a voice vote.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? No one is opposed. Oh, one abstention again from Greer Gaskell and Mr. Smith. The resolutions are hereby adopted. At this time, we'll proceed with applications. There are three applications this evening. The first application is that of E.A. Dory, 200 North Sacramento Avenue. Please come forward. Yes, please come forward.
I've been struggling with that name since I met.
Okay, what is the proper pronunciation, please? Inea. Okay, good. Now, would you have your witnesses or anyone who's going to speak for the board sworn, please?
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Dory, just your name and address for the record, and I'll swear you in.
Inea Dory, 200 North Sacramento Avenue, Ventnor City, New Jersey.
Please raise your right hand. You swear from the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Board members, Mr. Chairman, professionals, John Scott Abbott, I'm here on behalf of the applicant. What we're seeking to do tonight is obtain a certificate of nonconformities. I believe that each of you has a copy of the application. What I try to do with these applications make them very easy for you to follow. There's one sheet, which I labeled, here it is, you can see that. Most of the evidence that we have comes from your public records that we get from your building department and your tax office. This is an application for a certificate of nonconformity. These properties, this is one of many properties. You'll see within that packet a page out of a Franklin Atlas from 1938 that shows the group of buildings both sides of the street.
Pardon me one second, Scott. Pardon me one second. Could you give the test date that you're trying to go to?
I believe your ordinance requires the test date to be 1997.
Okay.
That's by two family dwellings existing at the time this chapter is amended, and the amended date is 8/28. That's today, 8/28/97. So I have to prove that this duplex existed legally prior to 8/28/97.
Thank you. Please proceed.
And it has been there for about close to 90 years.
Yes.
Please proceed. So the point of giving you all of your property records, you can see, and they're all attached,
Your property record cards from 1974, 1989, 2011. My client has rented this property. He's owned it since 2014. You can see he's had certificates of occupancy, and there were other issues, other issued certificates of occupancy, but his most recently are from, I believe it's last year. We have our tax card. You see our mercantile licenses. We'll pass 2 years. You can also see in the photographs, we have two separate electric meters, two separate gas bills. And if you look at it, it has two separate entrances. It's a duplex. So I have the applicant here tonight if you want to ask him anything, but it's pretty basic. And as I say, all this documentary evidence essentially comes from the city, again, from your record. That's what I have, Mr. Chairman. Would the board like to ask the owner anything? Or?
Could you explain some of the property cards to the board, please, and the dates on those, if you will? And do you have anything?
Well, what I do is I go down to your tax assessment. Bill Critchley, he's very cooperative. Ventnor really has a very good system where your tax records are, you know, of course, they're open, they're public records, and he'll explain them to me, and he gives me the property record cards from 74, 89, 11. Also, your building department, you can see there are certificates of occupancy issued for the various tenants. These go back to 74, 1989, 2017. So I really don't know what else to say other than if you take a close look at them, you'll see two dwellings. You see, I like the older property records because they're easier to read. They tell you two units, and then Bill will decipher his property records. He said, "Yes, Scott, you've got it. Here it is. Here's your duplex." Of course, if you look at the property, you can see it was originally built as a duplex. I don't think there's any doubt. You do have a handful of photographs there.
Right. Does the board have any questions of the applicant?
Chairman, go ahead, Roger. Go ahead. All the steps are exterior, correct?
Could you, rather than shake your head, could you give a verbal answer, please?
Yes, all the steps are exterior.
Any other questions for the board?
Are you looking to keep this building as it is? You think you're going to demo it, remodel, or build a new two-family?
I'm looking to keep it as it is for
Proceed.
How long have you owned this building?
2014. Since 2014.
Okay. At this time, do you have anything further to add, Mr.?
No, Mr. Chairman, that's it.
Okay. I'm going to open up to the public and see if there's any comment, please. Is there anyone in the public that has comment regarding this application? Hearing no request, seeing no request, the public portion is now closed. Mr. Abbott, do you have anything you wish to add? At this time, board members, or you have any other questions of our professionals or the app? I would take it. I know, Roger, did you do a review on this?
Did not, no.
Okay, there's no review. Are you complete, Mr. Abbott?
I'm sorry.
Are you complete?
I am, sir.
Okay. This time, we'll move to a resolution. Leo, could you form a resolution as all done in the affirmative?
Sure. The test year is 1997. Based on my review, all the documents appear in order, so we'll need a motion and a second to grant a certificate of nonconformity for this property to allow the continued use of a duplex.
We have a motion and a second, please. We'll have a roll. Okay, we'll have a roll call vote.
Mayor Landgraf?
Yes, the test year has been met. Documentation is there. It shows the building existed prior to 1997, it has been a duplex or two-unit dwelling for all that time. I vote yes.
Commissioner Kriebel?
For the same reason stated, I vote yes as well.
Jay Cook?
I vote yes. The character of the building and its construction, also the actual documents that have been submitted, prove the test year of 1997.
Roman Zabi Hutch?
I also vote yes. The test year has been proven, the documents are there.
Lorraine Salata.
I'll vote in favor of it. The documents support the test year.
Dan Smith III.
I also vote in favor of the documents and whatever.
Mike Wiesen.
I also vote yes. All the documents are in order. Test year has been met.
Peter Taco.
I also vote in favor of the application. The documents to prove that the facts are clear.
Tim Coop.
I also vote yes.
Is it? You are approved.
Thank you very much.
The board by unanimous decision. Thank you. Thank you for appearing this evening. The next application is that of
get ready. It's
like EC7 Relo LLC, 211 North Sacramento Avenue. Mr. Abbott?
Okay. Chairman, it's the same type of application. Okay. It's on the same street between Monmouth and the Bay on Sacramento. Once again, I've given you a an outline to follow.
Let's have our witness.
And we have a witness. We have one witness.
Let's have him swear.
Greg Giacovini. And his mother is here, too, to make sure he doesn't screw up. He's a very long-time planning board member of Margate. And we have Greg prepped here to testify. We think it'd be about an hour's worth of testimony. Now,
well,
we have to swear him in.
We'll see. We'll shorten him to 55 minutes.
I'm keeping it short for you. I know you've got a busy schedule.
Okay. Did you have a
sure?
Swear him in. Please raise your right hand.
All right, Greg Giacovini, for the record, please raise your right hand. You swear from the testimony you're about to give tonight will be the truth. Thanks.
Okay. Once again,
please. What is your test year?
My test year on this one, I believe, is also 1997. Same as the last one. It was when the ordinance changed, two family dwellings existing at the time this chapter is amended, 8/28/97. The applicant is an LLC. Greg, would you tell them what your position is with the LLC that owns this property? Okay. And you're familiar with this property? Okay. So, Mr. Chairman and board members, what we've done, again, we've submitted mostly records from your tax office and records from your building. So, as you can see, I have property records saying 1974, two units, 1989, two units. Residential property card dated January 5, 2011, two units. You have also a current property record, two units. You can see the exterior. You have the photographs there. We always try to put enough color photographs from every angle. You can see the two entrances. Maybe some of you are familiar with this. This is a pretty neat duplex because you really have a nice view of the water from it, and you can look right out onto the bay and right down the mile stretch. So again, I believe we meet the criteria, your property records, your building department records from what we found, and the actual physical appearance of it. You can see it was built originally as a duplex. Looks like it was one developer. He built both of those sides of that street. If you look at, you'll see that Franklin Atlas, which I have a collection of that. And you can see they're all pretty much this. It's the same structure you get down the street. So, Mr. Chairman, unless you have a question of us.
I have a question.
Okay.
You are a clarification. Could you put on the record, please, the source of your property record cards?
The source of the property record cards are from your Ventnor tax office. Thank and your building.
Thank you.
Okay. That's it. That's all.
Okay. At this time, we're open up to the public. If you are you finished?
I don't know. Mom, are we finished? Did you do all right?
Okay. We're going to. Yes.
I got to have some fun with this.
I would just like to know, what are you planning on doing with the building? Are you keeping it the same way? Are you renovating it?
We're not on the sensor again. We're all out. Yes.
Okay. Are there any other board members have questions? Either the applicant or our professionals. At this time, is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Hearing none, seeing none, the public portion is now closed. Mr. Abbott, do you have any further comment?
Mr. Chairman, that's it. We rest our case.
You are complete, sir. Okay. Mr. Kozak, could you form a resolution as all are done in the affirmative, please?
Sure. Again, the documents are well organized and all appear in order. So we'll need a motion and a second to grant a certificate of nonconformity to allow the continued use of the duplex on this property.
I have a motion and a second, please.
Second.
Okay. Have a roll call vote. Please state your reasons.
Mayor Langgraf.
Same as the last one. All the documentation is there. It shows that the unit was built as a two-unit dwelling, as well as all the property record cards show that continued use through the test year and to the current year. I vote yes.
Commissioner Kriebel.
For all the reasons stated, and I personally was in those units in the 80s, so I can attest that they were in duplexes.
Jay Cook.
I'd like to add further to the comments, but their mayor and Commissioner Kriebel has done a very good job. So I'll echo those comments and say they're mine also.
Roman Zabi Hutch.
I also vote yes for the same reasons.
Lorraine Salata.
I'll vote yes. All the documentation supports the test.
Dan Smith III.
Last year's meeting. It's interesting that somebody did something back there.
Mike Wiesen.
I'm also going to vote yes and leave it at that so he breaks the record from the first vote before this case.
Peter Taco.
I'm also going to vote in favor of the application. The documentation bears out the test year and everything seems to be in order.
Tim Coop.
I also vote yes.
That's good. Thank you very much.
You are hereby approved.
Night.
Well, thank you for joining.
Yeah.
Next case.
Oh, okay.
Gregory Yap and Rhonda Fetter at this address. Doesn't give the address here. 5402 Calvert.
Yep.
Might as well get Roger sworn in.
And okay. Yeah, so let me start. So, Wayne, do you have anybody you need sworn in? If you have that done first, please.
Absolutely. Introductions. Good evening, members of the board. My name is Ray Wendt. I'm a partner with the law firm Nemad Davis and Goldstein. I'm here on behalf of Gregory Capps and Rhonda Fetter, Block 199, Lot 10, which is 5402 Calvert Avenue. I have with me Bill McManus, our expert, who's going to be sworn in, and Greg Capps, who's going to be sworn in as well.
Have them come forward, please, and be sworn.
Mr. Capps and Mr. McManus, why don't you just state your name and address or business address for the record, and I can swear both the in together. Okay, and Mr. Capps.
Gregory Capps, 52.
And if you could each please raise your right hand, do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
Mr. McManus, sir, could you state your capacity here, what licenses you hold?
State of New Jersey, licensed at the manor, 37 years, principal and firm of Duffy, Goldstein, and Tennis and Fashion, supervised the preparation of the plan.
Thank you. Your credentials are accepted, sir. And will you please have Mr. McLaren sworn in, please?
Mr. McLaren, please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Great. Thank you.
So, Wayne, please proceed. We're going to have a preamble. You can go first. Okay.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead, please.
Okay.
Please, sometime.
Chairman Cook, thank you. Members of the board, just a brief introduction. We're here tonight requesting variance relief for the new front yard deck with some stairs that particularly encroach, as well as a rear yard deck that pre-existed and was reconstructed, which we discovered through this process. You're going to hear from Mr. Capps about how we got here.
Right. Hold on a second.
I just realized where this is. My daughter was next to me.
Okay.
I got it.
Yes.
Sorry about that, right?
No, that's okay.
I interrupt you.
All right.
Well, I'm like, why does this look familiar? I'm like, oh, shoot.
Now, if we lose by one vote, now.
Yeah, right.
She didn't give you the notice?
She doesn't own the property.
I know.
Okay. I don't directly reflect
that Mayor Landgraf is recusing himself on that matter and is stepping aside from the board physically.
So as Mr. Capps will testify to later, we have a situation where a contractor came in and started construction on the new front yard deck and didn't realize where the front yard deck was in relation to the actual property line. So the deck is partially constructed, and we're here a little bit for asking for some forgiveness, even though it's not Mr. Capps or Mrs. Fetter's fault necessarily. With that, we also learned in this process, like I said, the deck that had been there for years and years, the house was built in 1940, was replaced in its same location and also required variances. I think we can meet the C1 criteria, as Mr. McManus is going to testify. He's going to go first. He's going to explain the technical aspects of the project and why we're here. And my first two questions for Mr. McManus as he stands up are always, are your observations and methodologies based upon accepted principles in the fields of surveying and professional planning? Will your conclusions be based upon a reasonable degree of certainty in those fields? And with that, if you could just explain to the board why we're here.
By the way, this A1, a copy of the three color photographs, if
so, A1 is a copy of the three photographs that we submitted with our application. Page one is from March 2019. Page two, and that's the front. Before the construction, page two is July 2022, showing the partial construction of the front deck. And page three is from the, July 2022, showing the rear yard. As A2, we've marked the most recent plan by Mr. McManus for variance purposes. And as A3, there's an aerial of the neighborhood that Mr. McManus is going to explain for purposes of our presentation. Those are our three exhibits at this time. McManus?
Be offering testimony from the exhibit that we've identified as A2. Mr. Wentz is identified as the variance plan. This was the plan that we submitted with the application. It's a plan that shows the location of the property, which is on Calvert Avenue between Suffolk and Surrey Avenue. It's on the ocean side of Calvert Avenue. The area that I'm going to identify as the subject block is the properties that are immediately adjacent to us on Calvert Avenue and the properties that are across the street from us on Calvert Avenue. It's important to identify the nature of the structures on those particular properties because it leans towards the argument that we'll make with respect to the advancing the purposes of zoning and the C1 hardship variances. As I mentioned, the property needs variance relief as indicated in your engineer's report. We need four variances, one variance for the location of the front yard deck too close to the property line, one variance for the front yard deck with respect to the side yard too close to the property line. There's a variance necessary for the rear deck, again, too close to the side lot line. And lastly, a variance for the landscaped area in the front of the property where a certain amount of percentage is required. And we, in essence, have zero because of the existence of the deck. Those are the variances we're asking for. What we're not asking for is lot coverage, impervious coverage. We're well below those. We have substantial lot depth. The lot width is a nonconformity. Lot area, we're well in excess of the requirement for lot area. Rear yard setbacks, we don't need those as well. So there's a combination in this particular project of suitable setbacks as required by the ordinance and then ordinance required or variances required for some of the deficiencies. I want to point out that we're in the R7 zone. There's three zones actually affected with the subject block. We're immediately adjacent to an R4 zone and across the street is R2. And that becomes important when we talk about the significance of this variance with respect to the master plan and the zone ordinance plan. In the subject block, I've identified the location of the existing structures in the area. And I want to go through those to establish the record because it's important to see that our property is unique with respect to its location in this particular subject block. So immediately to our north along the Calvert Avenue in Surrey, the front setback for the existing home is 14 feet. Immediately adjacent to us heading towards the west, lot number 9, the setback to the building is 14 feet. The corner lot at Suffolk and Calvert Avenue, the setback for the building is 15 feet. Across the street, there's two rather large, very nice buildings, single-family homes. These are all single-family homes. Those two buildings are set back from the right-of-way 17 feet each. When we look at the average setback for those five buildings, it comes to a little over 15 feet. The front yard setback for the existing building, the subject property, is less than 7 feet, 6.8 feet. So we have a front yard setback that is two times closer to the right-of-way than the existing subject property. It's half the distance away from the street line that the other projects are. And that causes somewhat of a hardship that we're going to talk about. The hardships that we think that we, or the variances, I believe, that we are necessarily going to, the hoops we're going to jump through is the C1 and C2. I think we qualify for both. And it's important to, I guess, hear what C1 has to say out of the statute. And Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I'd like to read some of the statute. And I don't like to take it for granted off the top of my head. I want to be clear and precise in reading the statute. So this is from the Municipal Land Use Law. I know you've all heard this before, but it sets the groundwork, I think. And the statute says, where by reason of exceptional physical features uniquely affecting a specific piece of property, or by reason of exceptional situation affecting the structures lawfully thereon, that results in a particular practical and undue hardship. So I think the statute kind of leads us in a direction. And I believe that this application fits the requirement for approval under the C1 standards. And here's why. The statute says uniquely affecting a specific property. Well, I just mentioned where our property is relative to the other properties. It's unique because it sits so much closer to the road than any other property in this particular subject block. That makes it unique. It's not like any of the other properties. So I think it fits at least that aspect of the statute. One of the other things we saw in the statute is the fact that it talks about the structures that are lawfully existing thereon. This property has been here since 1940, when it was originally built in its particular location. So this is a structure that is existing, a lawfully existing structure, which also touches base on one of the requirements for that C1 statute. The neighborhood, you'll also notice here, is that every house has a deck, something that you can lounge on, sit out, have a cup of coffee, say hi to your neighbors in the morning in this particular subject block. What we also did is we took a look at some of the other neighborhood or some of the other houses in the neighborhood and did a little bit of an analysis. This is A3 that we've marked. It's an aerial exhibit from Google Maps. And it shows Calvert Avenue from Dorset, which is in the lower left-hand corner of the exhibit, and then all the way up through Surrey Avenue in the upper right-hand corner. And we counted the number of houses that face on Calvert Avenue in this location and found that there's 22 homes. Out of the 22 homes, 19 of them have porches or decks, something to sit out on. That comes to about 86% of this particular neighborhood has a deck. And in riding around the Heights, you'll see that that particular standard pretty much holds true. The majority, the overwhelming majority of the homes in Ventnor Heights in particular, has something that you could sit out on, a deck or a porch. Our deck does not have a roof. It's not enclosed. It's not a sunroom.
It has railings on the sides, but for the most part, it's nothing really more than just an open platform area. And that I think is important because that leads itself to the requirements or the purposes that are established in your ordinance for residential standards. In all of your residential zones in the city of Ventnor, the purpose is fairly structured the same. And it says, for instance, in the R4 zone, the purpose is to permit a continuation of development patterns that now exist within the city. Within your R2 zone, the purpose says to permit continuation of development patterns that now exist. And in your R7 zone, where we are, the language is similar, slightly different. It says to permit a mixture of housing options consistent with the existing development patterns. And all of your residential zones have in their purpose the same kind of language, to continue a pattern of development. We see the pattern of development here is to have a house with a deck in the front yard for the most part. We see that our structure is limited in nature because of its setback. So we believe that we qualify for a hardship variance approval because of the existing legal lawful structure on the property that's constrained by its setback. It's unique in the sense that it's closer to the street than any other. And we also see that decks are a pattern of development that we would like to continue in this particular neighborhood. And the only way to do that is to put the deck in an area that would require a variance. And that's exactly what's happened in this particular case. So we feel that we meet the criteria for a C1 variance, and we think we also meet the criteria for a C2 variance, or what we know as a flexible C variance. And the flexible C comes from the definition in the municipal land use law that talks about the purposes of zoning. And says that one of the purposes of zoning is to provide adequate light, air, and open space. Well, the deck that we have is less than 2 feet high. As I mentioned, it's not an enclosure. There's no roof to it. There's no sides to it, walls to it. So we think it certainly allows for adequate light, air, and open space. It doesn't impede the visual impact of any of the neighbors. It doesn't certainly preclude any airflow across and affect the neighbors in a negative way. So we think we advance that purpose of zoning.
Yes.
And we also think we advance the purpose to secure safety from fire and flood. Having a deck at the front door level in elevation with the front door makes it much easier for fire personnel, emergency services personnel to enter the house, as opposed to if you saw some of the older pictures, the steps went up and then into the front door, much easier in respect to safety purposes for our EMS personnel to access the front door or even the front windows if necessary, if there's something to stand on at the same elevation. So we think that the deck helps in that respect, and we think that it advances that purpose of zoning. Those are the positive criteria. With respect to the negative criteria, I don't think there's any substantial detriment to the public good. As I mentioned, the pattern of development out here is consistent. We don't impact the neighbors in any material way. And we think that there's will not impair the intent of the zone plan and the zoning ordinance. I read you some of the purposes of your zone plan to continue the pattern of developments happen in a neighborhood, and we think that we do that. So for those reasons, I think we meet the C1 and C2 variance criteria, and I think we do not negatively impact the neighbors or the zone plan. So I think the variances are warranted.
License stairs that actually approach beyond the property line quite a bit. And Mr. Tance tells us at your plan for houses closest to us, two of those houses have that same.
That's correct. There's a house on our side of the street on the Oceanside Calvert Avenue side that has steps that encroach into the right of way by over 3 feet. And the home immediately across the street encroaches into the right-of-way by a little over a foot. Some of the others are okay. We didn't do an analysis of that whole neighborhood because we felt that the subject block was most important to look at. So this is not an unprecedented situation, and I would venture to guess that if we were to go out there and do an analysis of more of the neighborhood, we would find similar situations.
So we get to do step process.
I would just add that the variances for the side yard setbacks are by nature just an extension of the building. The front deck was just extended out from the front line of the building, so it didn't get any closer to the property line than the building already was. So that variance is by nature of an existing nonconformity for the building. And in the rear, similarly, the deck that was replaced back there was off of or didn't quite meet the setback requirement of 4 feet. It was 3.2. So it's like 9-10 inches short of meeting the requirement, but it was an extension of the existing deck that was already there. So those extensions, we feel that even though their variances are de minimis. And with respect to the landscape, because there's no landscaping in the front yard by virtue of the deck and the driveway, we have you're required to have 5%. We have 0%. So we need a variance for that as well.
You please continue with your application and then we'll go into questions.
So the only other variance is the rear yard. As I mentioned, it's just a continuation retraction of the existing deck that was there, somewhat under the setback requirement. Four is required, 3.2, about 9-10 inches short. Is an existing nonconformity that was just reconstructed and so created a variance in and of itself.
That's complete.
Dennis. That's
the respect that we got here. Yes, we could explain to you how we got here today. Sure. So we hired a contractor to build this the front deck for us and to take off the decking on the back and just replace. We didn't actually do a continuation of anything. We just took off what decking was there and replaced it because it's all splintered. But on the front deck, he was supposed to get he checked in with the zoning office here and was told by, I think he told us, the two women there said, oh, you don't need to get a permit right now for this because it's just replacing an old deck that's already there. So he started the work. My wife and I were on vacation. We were up in Maine. We got a phone call from the township. They said, stop construction. We called the contractor, we said, stop construction, we need a permit. And, you know, within the next week or two, we kept following up. Did you get the permit? And he said, yes, he got the permit. And then he completed the work. And then as we were having some other work done, including siding, electrical charger put in for our car, and also HVAC system. So we followed up with the township about other permits at the same time, and we were told, oh, you never got a permit for this. So since then, we've been proactively trying to correct the problems that took place, not to our own fault, but our contractor didn't do what he was supposed to do, which we thought he did. And unfortunately, we're where we are now, and we'd really like to keep this deck. We love it. We use it. I use it every night. I as you know, Mr. McManus said, it's a place to congregate with your neighbors and talk to them and talk to the people walking their dogs over to the park every night, meeting my dog at the same time. So it's been a great opportunity for us to meet the neighbors since we moved here in 2019. So exactly how it was. We didn't even pull up. It was just the deck itself, the top deck. We pulled up, not the foundation.
City will revoke the license. I just speak of Ed Stinson about the process. It seems pretty straightforward. It requires insurance and all sorts of other things.
That is our presentation in chief. We respectfully request the variance relief set forth in the application.
Duane, do you have a survey of the property prior to these decks being built and regenerated?
I don't think we do.
You had to have it when you bought the property.
We have a survey of the property. Yes.
I do not have the prior survey. I have the property board.
But Ray, when the house was bought by them, it looked like that photograph you sent out, A1, right?
Yeah, A1 shows that there's a photograph of the front of the property from March of 2019.
And it shows a approximately 5x5 porch landing with steps that go down and landscaping on both sides.
The porch was short up the sidewall.
Yes.
And I don't really recommend using, you know, Google Earth in a no. public hearing, but
I'll accept it.
But you can, you know, you can kind of.
It's not Google Earth is not accepted. Is not acceptance of location.
It's an approximate reference. So just a real quick question. So when your contractor went to the zoning officer to get a permit for the rear deck, he didn't mention the front deck. For the front deck.
Yeah. He said rear deck when he testified, but he meant.
But you weren't just replacing the decking of the front deck. You're right.
They would have asked for a survey.
But you didn't remove and replace the existing porch. You expanded it, correct?
In the
yes.
We're talking about the...
No, you were just talking about the front, though.
We're going to just...
Right. In the front, we're told. Okay. But that wasn't described when your contractor went in the office?
Did he have a survey of the existing property?
I'm having trouble.
It's Jeff Moore.
How you went from a landing to a deck that covers the entire front porch. Now, apparently no permits were ever issued. It would seem.
No, the contractor was Jeff Moore. And, well, somebody asked, I'm sorry. But
just seems like in order to build what you've built, you know, you removed the landing, all the landscaping, and just put this big deck on without permission from anybody. I mean, that's what it appears to me anyway.
And that's what seemed to happen. And our client came back and found out that none of this was done the right way. I'm sorry?
Where's the copy of the permit?
No.
Where is the copy?
So
they were denied.
So you never saw it until it was almost completed?
Saw
the front. I'm talking about only the front right now.
Let's establish something. Was there a permit issued? Do you have a copy of the permit? So there was no...
We reached out to the township building to get to talk about some other work that was being done, including the siding and the HVAC system. And they told us at that time that you did not have a permit for the deck that had been done. And that's when we started to follow up, reached out to Mr. Wendt to see what we could do to try to correct the problems. Because I knew at that point in time, I knew that there was a problem. So I was told there was not a permit. Before that, I did not know that there was not a permit.
So at some point, you obviously confronted your builder. And what was his reasoning?
He stopped talking to us. He stopped exchanging emails and texts with us when we told him that this was a problem.
Done.
Oh, it's completed, yes. Yes, I think you were out, took a picture of it.
So you're
right. I recall. Well, work was done to complete it. But when after we were told to stop work, that we had to get a permit, we told Mr. Moore that we needed to get a permit, and he told us that he was taking care of it, and he told us that he got the permit, and then he completed the work. Correct. Mr. Moore.
Who was your initial
contract? Who was the initial contract? He never got a contract. He never got a permit.
He told you he had a permit. You were under the impression.
He told us that he had completed it, and this is where we are now. I did not. We were away on vacation.
Did you see permits for the other work?
Yes.
The HVAC and...
Yes. Our contract, positive, because we've had communications with the... That's when the city told us about.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't know when they first knew, saw the work being done on for the deck.
So when the city told you needed to stop work, you stopped work, your contractor claims he went to City Hall and got permits, resumed work, but you never questioned
it. Correct.
Okay.
Relied on his representation.
I interrupt here. I'd like Mr. Matos, please, to instruct the board on how this case should be, since there's no permit been issued, on how this case should be termed, and how we should look at this case regarding the deck itself.
Well, I always tell the board that they should look at these. You shouldn't you should almost look at these as if this is an application and the porch wasn't there, and should view it in that sense. Is this something that meets the variance criteria through Mr. McManus's testimony, and can they establish that this front porch should be allowed? I don't think you should punish the applicant for doing work. He's explained how he arrived at the situation. At the same time, you don't want to reward the applicant and say, well, it's already there, what's the big deal? But you also shouldn't say, well, we're angry because he did this, and punish him. You should look at it on the facts presented and the testimony presented in the planning testimony to support the variances.
So you want to look at this like if they're coming in with it. So if that's not there.
A1 would be where you would start on this thing. It's a new application, and we would look at it that way, and then we would adjudicate the applications in that way. Right, Mr. Vint? Okay. So that's how, in all fairness to the applicant and to the proper procedures, that's how the board should look at this, I believe. We've done this in the past, and this is the fairest way to do it.
Pardon me?
19. 29th.
So,
July 29th.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
Flip
it out.
Yes.
Okay. And that's what
the actual dimensions of the deck.
This will be back. Can I ask a follow-up here?
Yeah, the deck is full width of the building. 6.8 feet.
Depth is 6.8.
So it's technically just short of the right of way line by about 4 inches, the deck itself. And then of course the steps are down.
Yeah, so the steps are on the sidewalk, going toward the sidewalk in the city right away.
Correct. Not on the sidewalk, but in the right
away. Right in the right away. Correct.
Yeah, 2.5 feet.
Right. Okay.
But the actual depth from the house to the edge of the first step would be 6.8.
Now that we've established the rules of engage of how we should look at this case, now the board should proceed on looking at the case as if this is a new application.
Mr. McManus, you looked at the other porches in the neighborhood. Are they more like the porch that we have now, or more like the little tiny stairs that we had before?
They're actually just slightly smaller on average than the other porches in the subject.
Our proposed porch is slightly smaller than the average porch in the area.
Correct.
So it's going to fit the scheme of the neighborhood in terms of front yard porches.
Correct.
Just look at lot.
Whoa.
They're not in location, though.
All right. No. Yeah. That's why we're constrained. We put a deck that's about average width of the decks that are in this neighborhood. That's the deck that we have to do.
Because being the defensive house was slid forward, they sacrificed the deck, the deck out back.
So maybe what we need to be looking at, because I don't think this is a good situation, my personal opinion. What kind of a modification can be made to that deck so that you're happy and the board is happy? I mean, I look at it and I have ideas. I don't know a lot about construction, so I, you know, concede to whoever could make a suggestion, but maybe pulling in the steps, pulling back the actual deck a little bit, so you have some width there and some depth without having such a huge expanse of stairs.
Mr. McManus, I have some questions, please. You testified in your application with the C1, C2 things in here that you were talking to developmental patterns. I've walked the street, the Dorset Avenue from all the way in there. Most of these buildings are built at the same time. You testified that they all have porches, but you didn't testify to the setbacks of those porches in there. Now, in walking through and looking at those setbacks, which I measured many of them, they are not consistent with this particular property. So this particular property, in its original state, was very similar to the other ones. This deck that was built is not unique, is my contention, as you had stated. Now, unless you can show me difference, it's because I didn't measure things and looked at everything, that the setbacks to all of those other porches were very similar to the house, this house, the actual, what we call the one-story section of that, many of which were the porches there. And they were not, and those porches did not extend to the sidewalk or 6.8 feet in front of those buildings. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, let me go back.
Okay.
What I did say is that not everybody had that deck.
Right.
Most do. Not.
Right.
And I believe I did say that we only measured the subject lot. We did not extend our research all the way down to where we stopped. We could have gone to other streets. I gave it down to some of the And I think by statute, what we're looking for, or by case law, what we're looking for is how does this affect the immediate neighborhood? Does this really affect anybody that lives on Thor City, Catherine Avenue? Or does it affect somebody more intimately that lives right in this particular block? And that's what we try to do. Talk about substantial detriment to the character or substantial detriment to the neighborhood. The public will talk about the neighborhood that's immediately adjacent to us. I can't tell you exactly where those other next steps are,
right.
But we did focus on our
right.
immediate area.
But if you look at the properties adjacent to on either side, they do not the main structure, and then they only have a small walk area. Their decks do not protrude past the one what you have labeled in your survey, the one-story structure, other than a small set of steps going down to it, based on your survey on either side. So, my question is if this deck is protruding past the adjoining properties, how can that be unique or positive in there when this deck was reconstructed just recently, when it never existed before? Right. It's a developmental pattern. And what I don't understand in here is you have a newly constructed deck, but the decks on either side are, and I can't accept that this is a unique property.
Well,
it never existed prior.
Larry, when I'm talking about the unique structure lawfully existing on the property, I'm talking about physical building itself,
right.
Habitat.
Okay.
That is unique. It's not, there is nothing like that in our subject lot. Front of our building is closer to the street than any other by two times. The structure of the building, the enclosure of the building.
Question. This building was built in 1940. These buildings creep toward the street. Usually most of these enclosures on the front first part were open porch, were porches at one time, how they were built. They were enclosed. So when this is what we call a creeping building. So originally, if you go back and look at the design of other buildings, there's most likely
the house next door.
The house next door is a good example of that, is there that this was an open porch. It was beforehand, and then it was enclosed, and therefore, this happens all over the city, and the property next door even shows it that way. So again, I have to. You're entitled to your opinion, sir, but I have to question it, and I am not convinced of your opinion. So
understood.
That's the way, don't you? they represent purchase.
Easy. It's easy. Reduplicate it. Bring it back to that. That's the, how you get to that is you bring it, you reconstruct it. That's how you get back to it. Yeah. If that's what the board wants, that's what the board has options here. But if you're in answer to your question, and Mr. Matos, bear me out on this, and that you can recreate any, if that's what you want recreated, you can recreate that. And Mr. Taco will tell you that. He can do it all the time with his eyes closed.
Also, I just want to point out to the board members that the three properties that were named as encroaching in their right of way, all three of the properties were lifted after Sandy.
That was my question.
Yeah, they're all elevated after Sandy.
And that encroachment is a direct reflection of that. We're
They still need an encroachment license, but again, since you're raising the floor level, you need more steps. So in this application, that's not the case.
Yeah. Now, if we could digress to the rear deck for a second, we're looking at 3.7 feet versus 4 feet. That's
3.2.
It's a 3.2 or
3.7. Okay, if I may, the rear deck, they just redecked.
Right.
If they came in to me as a zoning officer, I would remove and replace in kind. That's a maintenance item.
I think that's not an. I don't think it's an issue. I don't think it's an issue here at all. So I just want to get that. So we're focused on what needs to be done and remove the things that we don't have to talk about. If the board agrees with that, does the board agree with that?
I do.
Okay. How the rest of the board?
Yes.
Good. Board members, you agree with that?
Yeah, no? And I would say with the rear deck, there's at least an argument to be made that to echo what Roger's saying. You're replacing something in kind.
Right.
Maybe even an argument that you wouldn't necessarily need to even get variances. Technically, when you remove something, you lose all the protection, but you're just replacing something. You see it sometimes with front steps and stuff like that. So,
yeah. Discussion, Mr. Wendt, Mr. Manis, do you have any suggestions?
So if it was standalone, that would not be a variance. Yes.
Can't have a deck in front of yourself without it. House is already closer to the street.
The suggestion is to
replace the porch.
That's being posed is can something be modified to use that? That's what I'm getting.
Well, the first option you have is to replicate what was there when the property was purchased, and that does not require variances in there. Now, as far as am I correct in that? The next thing is. Is Mr. Wendt with your client? Could you give us something? Do you have anything in mind that you would like to propose to the board?
Could we have a couple of minutes?
Sure.
Thanks.
Do you have a contingency plan in case you don't get their license?
Sue Jeff Moore.
You're going to get sued anyway.
I'm a certified civil trial attorney.
Why don't you and your client confer?
Okay.
Well, you could reduce those steps down to anything.
We're off the record for a few minutes.
4 inches.
On recess.
It's all.
On a break. The board is having
taking so much time, and I appreciate
it. Mr. Wendt, we gave you time. You don't have to apologize.
Thanks.
Thank you for using it.
We, because of building code issues, we're looking at options. And because of building code issues, landing requirements and square footage, we're going to have to pull the application and reevaluate the front yard deck. We're not going to roll the dice here. There are too many moving parts. There's footings. There's a lot of logistical issues involved with the front yard deck. We appreciate what you said about the rear yard deck. We're going to get that prior survey, by the way, in the meantime. And we're going to come back with something that I think is a little bit more palatable because I'm sensing a disturbance in the force.
At the same time, this board does require like landscaping. I will tell you that. We like to green the city up. So
understood.
Please don't shortchange us there.
Understood.
Okay. And you're a gentleman. Mr. Croft?
Usually when you come back the second time, it's fine-tuned and it's much easier.
That's what we're going to do.
It's a good decision.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Capps? Thank you.
Ray, are you going to be willing to refile altogether or what?
The applications, can I reserve and we can talk about that, whether it can be an amendment versus a refiling? Obviously, we'd like to avoid a refiling.
Yeah.
Okay. How much time do you need?
Yes.
How much time?
Significantly. That's why I'm lobbying for it. 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
I'm thinking more along long noticing terms. I don't think we need to make you file a new application.
Oh no, we'll renotice. Absolutely.
You're okay with that?
I think for just to avoid any logistical procedural issues, we will renotice because the application is going to be substantially different.
If you talk with Mr. McLaren, but we feel that you can amend this application also. We'd like to work with you as best we can, sir. And this is hard for you. We understand that, but we have certain things we have to do also. So, at the same time, we're cognizant of your feelings. It's called empathy, and we empathize with your feelings too. So
I appreciate
that. We're all trying to work to a positive.
Right. So, Mr. McManus, thank you very much for your patience with us. Right. You're hometown boy. You've taken care of business here.
Thank you.
So you've done well for yourself.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Good luck.
Members of the board,
that's it.
Have a good night.
See you. Thank you.
Wait, so that's hard. Okay. Members of the board, I think you acquitted yourselves very well with this application. And things were handled. And the board did what was fair. And we tried to keep fairness and we give the man his best opportunity he can. But I have to commend you for staying within the guidelines and keeping it the way it is. These are touchy situations. And this board rose to the occasion. Thank you. Thank you, one and all.
Yeah.
So, if there's no further, is there any further business before the board this evening?
I make a motion.
You make the motion.
Yes, sir.
Who those in favor?
Aye.
We be adjourned.
Aye.
We'll be home at 8.
Yeah.
You made it.
Peter?
I'll have no fury.
Oh, that was
a rain?
15 minutes.
No.
35 minutes.
Okay. It's okay.
Yes, yeah, so these are always tough ones. Yeah. But you try to be fair, but it's just in the final way.
Too much of
it. That's the way it is. Yeah. And that's. Yes. But